Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show with me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, with your coverage of anything and everything in the sporting world as we are here live in the local area here of Rowlett. And we're going to do some major coverage of other stuff that's going on. Obviously, the local area here is swelling with a lot of things that are going on as the Rowlett area and the Dallas-Fort Worth area. A lot of stuff as far as sports are concerned that are going on. Lots of confusion about some of the things that some teams, whether they're major league, minor league, or whatever the case may be, it needs to happen. And I will say this, as I go through and I look at what's going on in the local area, I've got to worry about a couple of things, and that, and we'll talk about those things as we go on here tonight, or today, talking, and we're going to bring in our national audience as well as our national hosts will be making their way into the Couch Potato Sports Show here in a matter of moments. National, international. We got Cuervo calling from Kuwait, our regular co-host of this fine program. And Tarvin calling from Georgia, if and when he gets an opportunity to get in here. So I want to keep it a little bit local here, just really quick here this morning to see. And the main reason why I want to do that is because those that are listening, we do 347-215-7497 is the number that you can get in on and listen to today's program. That having been said, give us a call. We'll get you in. But locally here, some things happened last night. If you're local, you may or may not know is that a indoor football team kicked off their preseason last night, and I'm talking about the Mesquite Marshals. And the Mesquite Marshals, they're a team in Champions Indoor Football. This is a team that was put together by Mr. Bland over there, who owns the Mesquite Arena. Nice man, by the way. Met him last night as they were getting ready for their inaugural game. And their inaugural season, and I was watching this game. I went to the game. I actually paid for a ticket. This is weird. For the first time in 5 years, I actually went to a game where I didn't have to prep. I didn't have to get ready. I didn't need to know stats. I could just go and have a good time, and it was a fun time. I got to get it out there. I got to give it to the Marshals as an organization for what the Mesquite Arena is. Folks, this is a rodeo. Okay, this is not the Allen Event Center where the Texas Revolution play. That having been said, you can't really expect that going into it if you know anything about the area and or the actual arena itself. So knowing what I know about the Mesquite Arena, you know, I'm going to tell you as far as an older building and things like that, those are the kind of buildings that I like. I like watching games in those older arenas. Back in Arizona, the Madhouse on McDowell, the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum, I used to go watch hockey games there where the Phoenix Suns played for many years before they moved over to then the America West Airlines Stadium, and now it's some casino-owned thing now downtown there in Phoenix. That having been said, I like those older places. I like those places that have a little personality to them. So I actually enjoyed the fact that it was kind of an older building and enjoyed. But as far as the organization, locally here, as folks that are listening locally, it's a good show. But realize it's not the Allen Event Center, state-of-the-art stadium, and has everything and anything that everything that you would need in order to put on a good show and concerts and things like that. This is a rodeo, an indoor rodeo, so don't expect a lot there from those kind of things when you're going to those games for those folks that are here locally. And so that having been said, with us being local and covering a lot of things, we'll be covering a lot of those throughout the week as our new show that got the financial backing on the air with Sonny Clark kicks off in the first week of April. So we got the financial backing for that. So it's going to be a Rowlett community show. And based upon all the things that are going in Rowlett, not just sports, not just politics, not just but everything that's going on in Rowlett and the surrounding areas that would affect the folks that live here, it is a definite local show. Obviously, folks can listen to it from all over the place, but it's going to be really fun. That having been said, we are here. It is the Couch Potato Sports Show. It is the show that goes national as well as international.
Oh, you didn't know?
So let's go ahead and bring him on in.
Find
co-host of this program. It's Cuervo all the way from Kuwait. How you doing this morning, my friend?
How's it going, Sonny? Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. We're kicking it off here on a Sunday morning, talking a little bit about the new local indoor football team, the Mesquite Marshals, here for Champions Indoor Football, the same league that the Revolution play in. So I was just covering a little bit of that for my locs that are here in the area. So how are things over there in Kuwait?
Quiet as always, Sonny. So that's always a good sign.
Yes, I would think so. As far as that is concerned, we don't want you to have too much going on. Now let's bring in the host of Way In Sports Talk over there on Block Talk Radio with us here. It is the good old boy himself. It is Brian Tarvin. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, guys. It's been a long time, it feels like.
Well, it does. We missed last week, and I felt like garbage, and I was like, forget it. I just can't do it. But we are back here Sunday morning covering anything and everything that is going on in sports. Where would we be on a Sunday morning, okay, if we were during the off season and or just maybe even during the regular season, that we don't talk about our boy, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, okay? They are still deciding whether or not they want to bring charges against this guy. And as far as that incident that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks with the ex-girlfriend and things of that sort, listen, I'm not a Johnny Football, supporter there, Cuervo, but something about this whole situation, I keep reading it, and something about this whole thing, I just want clarification whether or not if this woman that is involved with this met him or called him to come over, even though there's a quote-unquote restraining order out there, and she called him over. I just think this was a classic setup. I don't know. I don't think Johnny Manziel's got a mental problem, more so that he thinks he's going to kill himself. He's got a mental problem, but I don't think it gets to that point. But just from the background and everything, just something about this, even though I hate the guy's gut, does not come out smelling too rosy for me, Cuervo.
No, and I don't think it does for many people, Sonny. It's kind of like, you know, the people that want to go after him, they have a lot to say, you know, as far as their side. But then you got a lot of people that support him too. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's almost like, what side do you turn with, or what side do you kind of go with? Because you got a lot of people that support him, but at the same time, you got a lot of people that are against him. So I don't know. It's a really weird situation. It could be a setup. It could be just, you know, hey, I just want to ruin your persona for whatever reason, you know, your reputation. But I mean, what do people get from that? What's the benefit into tarnishing this guy's career if that's what you're trying to do? So I don't know. It seems like
it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that. It's kind of mentioned that you interesting that you mentioned that Cuervo tarnishing his career. I think he's doing a pretty damn good job of that by himself there, Tarvin.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You just took it right out of my mouth. I mean, he doesn't need any help. He's just a wrecking ball, man. That's all he is. He's destruction. It's not a football matter anymore, guys. This is, I mean, his dad doesn't even think he's going to live much longer if he doesn't change. Forget jail. Jail may be a good place for the guy, really, honestly. It may keep him safe for a little while. I don't know if he could fight or not. He'd probably get his ass kicked several times in prison, but at least that'll keep him alive and get him tougher, because right now he's not going to make it on his own.
It changes people.
I don't want to ever experience that. I don't need change like that. So I do not want to be beat up every day of my life and be locked up. That'd be a nightmare. But
yeah.
But Johnny, his life's on the line, guys. It's not just about being legal, drugs, alcohol. This is his life, man. He's a kid. And his dad needs to get him, beat him. He should have beat him a long time ago and disciplined him instead of making him work for a living. And now, I mean, you look at it, the guy's got talent. You don't win a Heisman Trophy without having talent, guys, especially at the quarterback position. But I just think, do you think winning it that young and being successful that early as a redshirt freshman, do you think that plays into it? Or, you know, I mean, I just think he became a rock star all of a sudden just because he beat Alabama, and it's never been the same since.
Well, that's a very valid that you bring that part up, because I was thinking to myself, should it have even won the damn thing in the first place? I mean, you know, the only thing he did is beat Alabama. How many losses in that year did they take against very, you know, less superior football teams, obviously, than Alabama? So, you know, it goes back to the old phrase there, you know, Cuervo, you know, even a blind dog will find a bone every once in a while.
And that is true, and that's why I said, you know, people are out to tarnish his reputation, because, and I know he's doing it to himself. Very good point, and I get that. However, I think he's got a lot of people that are, you know, against his success, and it seems like that's what we've been noticing these past couple of years. Somebody becomes a big name. They get a little success. They taste it, and then people either don't agree with it, or for whatever reason they want to bring it down.
Targeted.
Okay, so now let's find dirt on this person. And they become a target. That's exactly what I'm saying. So you look at a guy like, you know, guys like Tom Brady, and I mean, look at Cam Newton, the success that he's had, and people have continued to find bring him down. Now you got Peyton Manning on the verge of possibly retiring. Oh, let's bring up, you know, the seabagging incident from 20 years ago. Oh, let's bring up, oh, did his wife have, or did he have HGH mailed to his house? Oh, it's like, where does all this stuff come from? You know, the next thing you know, we're gonna hear something about what Von Miller did in college, or he cheated on a test at Texas A&M, or something stupid. Why? Because Von Miller was Super Bowl MVP? Like, I guarantee you that's going to be the next name on the hit list.
I hope so.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting when I think about all the things that you're hearing just as of late. And now, Peyton Manning, listen, the whole thing with what's going on with Peyton Manning about back in college, I don't give a rat's about this. You're talking about a kid that was 19 years old, dumb as rocks, but the smartest of the dumb as rocks, did one thing dumb, and then you had a woman who, see, and this goes back to whether women should be in the damn locker room in the first place, okay? I don't care if they're trainers or not. But being in a locker room, they should be in a separate area, in a separate room, and out of the locker room. I'm sorry, and if people want to think that I'm a womanizer or whatever, there is no place in a locker room for a woman, let alone the media. I would get back to that as well. Keep the damn media out of the locker room. Let that be their sanctuary, because once their sanctuary gets invaded, whether it be media, whether it be women, you know, it gets outside of what the camaraderie of what men's sports are.
Okay. Now, if you want to be a woman and be in the media and you want to get, they need to change it. I'm going to tell you right now, they will never, ever, ever, not that any man really, a reporter cares about the WNBA. You're not going to see them in the women's locker room getting information or getting an interview from whoever it may be. Okay, you're not going to see it. It's such a double standard. That's why the NFL, that's why professional sports has to take that step and say, no more locker room access. And frankly, there's no place for it. It doesn't need to be done. It just causes problems. All you got to do is go back and see the Dez Bryant incident of a couple of months back where a reporter asked him a question that pissed him off, and then he goes off lit in the locker room. And that was after practice. So, you know, there are certain things that need to happen in the NFL, and they're just not doing it. And the main thing is, and I know why, is because they don't care what the implications of what can happen are, because the NFL is the NFL. So whether it's a Von Miller situation or anything, that it's going to have to completely blow up in their face. You can say whatever you want about Johnny Manziel, okay? And I hate him, and a lot of people hate him. But really, when I see this story that's going out about Johnny Manziel right now, my grandfather used to say a very statement that I live by this day. It smells funny, and I'm not gonna eat it. And that's the way I feel right here on this Johnny Manziel story. Although I'd love to see the guy go down in a blaze of glory, there's something about this story that just doesn't mix. And that's what it is. And players becoming targets was one of the things I wanted to talk about. You talk about Peyton Manning being the target, but really, you think about it, Cuervo. The Peyton Manning situation with his wife and what was being delivered to his wife, the skepticism about that story comes from a bunch of lying athletes from the years past that make it hard to believe a guy, regardless how great of an image that they had, such as Peyton Manning. And really, you think about it, the players brought this on themselves. But I go back to the adage, and then I'll let you jump in here, is an adulterer is not going to admit that he's having an affair.
And Peyton did. Yeah. I think he used HGH, Cuervo, don't you? But I really don't care. I don't think he used it to get bigger or cheat. I think he did it to get healthy again, don't you?
Yeah, if he did it.
If it's true, I think that's exactly why he did it. I mean,
I believe that.
Really, if you know, when you, not to toot his horn, but come on, when you're the top at what you do, you have no reason to want to get better, because you're already at the top of your game. So
I disagree.
I think it's more about getting, you know, healed up and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, do you think some of it could have to do with him trying to get stronger and bigger? Because if that's the case, it didn't work.
Well, I mean, I don't think he did it to get bigger and stronger. I think he did it because he's getting older and he sees everybody else out there doing it. And that doesn't make it right, but I just think he says, you know what, I'm 30-something, I'm in the end of my career, I do know I have enough left to take, but with this injury, the being the way it is, I mean, not only did he take it for, I mean, I think he took it just so he wanted to play, but he didn't want to get paralyzed. He didn't want to maybe strengthen his neck up real good so he doesn't take a shot in the cold weather and paralyze him or something. But you remember Colin Coward said to a lot of people that he faced Manny, they just didn't really trust him, like he wasn't the real image that he portrayed to everybody else, like he was hiding stuff in his closet. But I just think it's a Tim Tebow effect, really. I mean, anytime you try to have a good image and they try to tear you down, and I just think Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl and now people are trying to tarnish his career, and I just think it's terrible that it's coming out now. I mean,
I think that's kind of interesting. Hey, Tarvin, let me jump in there really quick. It's interesting because let's go second time 1 year. We're not hearing this. I mean, so the focus of where this is with Peyton Manning is so suspect. It's crazy to me. All you got to do is if you go back last year, after the end of the season, there wasn't a story about Peyton Manning except the fact that he was hurt, he was injured, and done. I mean, will he retire? That's the only thing you heard. The fact that he won the Super Bowl, Cuervo, and getting the second ring, you know, it is, I think, creating a lot of this. But, God, go back into time. Listen, you know, Tom Brady's got, what, 5 rings? Joe Montana's got 4? I mean, you were talking about other, I mean, I'll just put it out there. Peyton Manning's great in the regular season. This guy is not the best in the postseason. He's lucky to have the second ring. Never, I mean, the first one he got, and he earned it. He should have got another one, but it's kind of almost like a makeup call in football, you know, getting him a second ring. So, but I go back to, you know, Peyton Manning breaking all the records and everything, but I still go back to the fact that Joe Montana's got 4 Super Bowl rings. And Tom Brady's have what, 4 or 5, something like, whatever it is. Okay, this 4. Guy's got 2. Yeah, so this guy's got 2. So as far as putting him in postseason, I don't call him one of the best to ever play the game in the postseason. In the regular season, I'm going to give this guy all the accolades in the world. But in postseason play, he's not definitely the best quarterback to ever play the game in the postseason, but regular season. That's why people have a hard time putting Peyton Manning as one of the best to ever play, because they wanted to see the accolades go on in the postseason, and that's where you got your Joe Montana's, you know, Tom Brady's, to a certain extent, Steve Young, and some of these other guys that are, you know, great. See, you can talk about Brett Favre all you want, okay, being a great football player, Hall of Fame guy, but really, when you look at the extent of his career, this guy's got 1 Super Bowl ring. I mean, he can't, right now, Brett Favre, with all the records and everything, he can't carry Joe Montana's jock, never mind Tom Brady's. You know, as far as an overall thing to call them great, I think you got to add that postseason in it to give it, I mean, look at what we talk about Dan Marino. Dan Marino never won one. He's, you know, but he's considered one of the greatest quarterbacks in the world. But really, you go back to the guys that won it more. Cuervo.
Well, the other thing I'll say to that, Sonny, is although we do look at postseason accolades and things like that, my thing is you got to get to the postseason. I mean, and the only way to get to the postseason is putting up the numbers in the regular season to get there. So my theory on it is what makes Peyton so great is, you know, he gave himself and he gave his team an opportunity just about every year to compete for a championship. Okay? You got guys out there that, like Marino, who – there were years he made the playoffs. There were years, there were years that he didn't make it. So, you know, my thing is, while we knock him for not winning more than 2 championships, when you go back and you look at the history of the AFC playoffs, every single year you're going to see the Indianapolis Colts or the Denver Broncos led by that same guy that we're talking about. So, in my opinion, yes, while, you know, the rings can talk, I think the fact that the opportunity to have the rings should play a big part in it too. And maybe it does for some people, but for the people that don't consider that, or that they just look strictly at, well, okay, how many rings you got? Well, hold on a second. You know, I mean, there's some guys that, you know, won 1 ring, but they only got to the postseason 2 or 3 times or something along the lines of that. So do we consider those guys, you know, great? Well, they have a ring. So, I mean, that's the way I look at it is, you know, before you knock somebody on how many rings they have, let's go back and see, well, did they consistently give themselves the opportunity for that ring? And if the answer is yes, then I think you move them up a little bit. If the answer is no, then they go down the list.
Tarvin.
I think people do put way too much emphasis on Super Bowl rings. I mean, let's face it, Brett Favre is one of the best in the game. Marino never won anything, and he made it one time. I mean, Peyton's one of the best of all time. There's no doubt in my mind. But did he get lucky in this Super Bowl to get a ring? Yeah, I've never seen a defense play like this. But like I told y'all can agree or disagree, that game was decided before we even got on the field. I mean, before they even took the field the other night. I know y'all don't believe me when I say that. I'm not just saying that, but that game was rigged, and
someone's still upset.
Well, hold on. Some people would think the game was rigged against Peyton Manning when the first snap goes over his freaking head, and then they end up laying an egg. I mean, it's
I want it to be rigged, you know, because, you know, Cam Newton, and again, we talked about steps and everything. He took a step. He got to the Super Bowl, but it takes a little bit different mentality if you're going to win it. But Peyton Manning, that's his ring. At least he's got more than just as many as his sorry brother has, for God's sake. I mean, at least his brother can't sit over there and say, hey, I've got two rings. You only have one, Peyton. So, but I'm concerned that Peyton's coming back. I mean, is he going to retire? Because I thought he was going to retire. If he comes back, he's just dumb, honestly. If he comes back to football, I mean, in the Super Bowl, he looked like a washed up quarterback. Cuervo, we love Peyton Manning, we all do, but he has no business being quarterback in the NFL right now. I mean, he just doesn't, and I just think he needs to walk off with a ring and take one to be a top five of all time and just ride off into the sunset. But this stuff right here, you know, you remember when Cam Newton, the bag man, came out when Cam Newton was like 9-0 Auburn was, and he almost had the Heisman locked up? That's when all these stories started coming out, even though they had the information or they had something before that. They could have brought it out at the first of the season. But Peyton Manning's about to win another ring and come against Tom Brady, of all people, and beat him. So now all of a sudden he's a cheater. Somewhere the truth's in the middle of all this, guys. There's a little truth to everything. But
yeah.
Do I think Peyton Manning's a cheater? No. Do I think he's a pervert? No. Do I think he's cheating on his wife? Well, that's his business. I mean, if he did one time, then he's been married a long time. I mean, people make mistakes, and that's why everybody thinks a quarterback can't make a mistake, and if they do, they just get crucified for it. But I don't see Peyton Manning getting arrested every weekend or beating a woman or doing all this other stuff. The media these days with Twitter and Facebook, guys, it's just unbelievable. Everybody is an expert. Everybody wants to report.
Yep.
And I think they need to be held accountable for it, too. You put out something like this with no substance, you go to jail, man. I mean, it's just crazy.
That's interesting you put that up, because this report coming regarding the mailing of the thing comes from a guy who was being interviewed on a spotlight show or whatever, and he's retracted everything he said because he thought something was up on these things. So, and he's retracted everything that he said. So you got him saying it one time, but you got him saying, I forget who it is, but they got him saying, listen, I thought this was bull malarkey. Everything I said wasn't true. He came out and said it. And that was prompting beef. Before the show aired, by the way, just to let people know that as well. So he came out saying, listen, the things I said in there, they weren't true. So now I don't know if he knew he was going to get busted, get Peyton Manning to come down on him, you know, as far as defamation of character or whatever the case may be. All that being said, this guy denied the whole thing that this whole report was based upon that came out. But you also got to go back to the fact that some of these – all you got to do is remember Rafael Palmeiro just pointing at it, says, I did not do this. And not a week later, he got busted for it. So, you know, you can't believe an athlete because they've obviously proven it. But then again, you go back to, will a guy admit that he had an affair? Of course not. He's going to lie about it. You know, so that having been said, that's what – Well, funny. Steroids is like having an affair on sports. is what it's boiling down to. No one's going to admit that they did it, but they're doing it. You know, so it's one of those things. But an interesting story that came out, by the way, this week, and let's run over to that because it involves Peyton Manning. It involves him maybe further in his career. But the St. Louis Rams / L.A. Rams are rumored to been actually talking to Peyton Manning to bring him to St. Louis / L.A. Rams. And, you know, you're talking about superstar status. You can say whatever you want about Peyton Manning, the athlete, but this guy's a superstar off of the football field. I've never, as far as funny, this guy's a riot. He's great for the entertainment area. So bringing a guy, a big spotlight guy like Peyton Manning to the L.A. area is kind of interesting, kind of an interesting plan as well. Put this out there, Cuervo. You're a Peyton Manning fan. You want to see Peyton Manning in L.A. playing for the Rams if it comes out to be a true story and they actually sign him up.
Heck yeah, I do. Because I live an hour away from L.A., so you bet I would find a way to get some tickets and go watch him play. But, I mean, you know, yeah, of course I'd love to see that happen, but I don't think it's going to.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be a fit there.
Well,
in L.A., do you? That's just too big.
I don't know. I mean, come on, it's L.A. No one knows what the hell's going to happen up in L.A. I mean, it goes back to the whole situation. They haven't had a freaking team forever, and they don't care about the NFL there. I'm sorry, they don't. If they cared about the NFL, they wouldn't have had to practically beg someone to come play over there, okay? If L.A. really wanted a team, they would have had a team a long time ago. Their team is Southern Cal, okay? And that's all they need up there. And that's where all the pretty people go. So now you get this. Now, I'm not saying it won't draw, okay? I'm not saying they probably won't, but really, it's almost like a forced draw. The Rams. I mean, they have the tradition of L.A., and I get it. But really, I lost that tradition a long time ago when they moved to St. Louis, 20 years ago? I mean, so really, there's no tradition at all of football up there, unless it's the L.A. Raiders, which really, frankly, I thought that really should have been the move, just personally because they've been there before. The Chargers, I never thought they were going, but that story's still not dead. If they have another vote to see if they get it, maybe they'll go next year or whatever the case may be. Man, the L.A. story sucks. And frankly, I think it's a bad move for the NFL until they actually had everything really figured out. But they still don't have anything figured out. By the way, where are the Rams playing in L.A.? Does anybody know? I just haven't had time to look, nor do I care, I guess.
I'm not sure.
I guess
yeah,
I'm going to have
sure
probably a baseball field.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Candlestick is what I'm hearing. But that was a couple of weeks ago. I'm pulling it up and see what's going on as far as the L.A. Rams and what they're talking about. And I don't think they even have that part figured out either. Here it is.
Sonny, if it fell before, why wouldn't it fail again? I mean, what has changed?
Why did they move in the first place if it was such a big – hey, listen, they moved when football, you know, was, I guess you could say, affordable to own a team, Cuervo, right? I mean, we're not talking about the millions of dollars that are piping through the NFL at the time. This was back in the day where you know, you had about, you know, 15, 20 million, you had a football team.
Yeah, and tickets were at an affordable price. So, but now, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe now that's why they're trying to bring him back, because of the money that it could potentially make.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I still can't find any information on where they're going to play. So that's a whole new story. My goodness gracious. I don't know. I just look at this as crazy, but you know what? As far as football is concerned and about football noise, I'll tell you right now, there was some big news that happened in L.A. for the L.A. Rams, and they just let some guys go. They cut Chris Long, James Laurinaitis, Jared Cook off the defense, and frankly, that was the best part of this team. So, big mistake here. I know they're saving a lot of money on cap. Don't get me wrong. I get that, and I understand business is business. But you're taking taking the big three in reality off of that defense, Cuervo. That defense is what made that team somewhat good. And the reason why as confident that when you picked the Rams to win a game, it wasn't because of their offense. It was because of what they brought together on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I was shocked. By the way, they're going to be playing at the stadium, at the Coliseum where USC plays at. So just to answer everybody's question. But, you know, I wasn't too surprised at the cut of Jared Cook, the tight end. But I was shocked more at, obviously, Laurinaitis. I was pretty shocked at Chris Long, too. You know,
yeah,
but the Laurinaitis one, I think, really
guys,
was like, yeah, I mean, Laurinaitis was just kind of like, wow, you know, what are they really trying to do here? Like, what is the
guy
plan?
Guy will be on a team soon.
I'm surprised they're not on a team. The only reason they're not on a team right now is because you can't sign anybody yet. The season hasn't officially started yet, but as soon as it does, those two are going to get snatched up pretty fast.
And I bet you they're going to make some money. They're, without a doubt, especially Laurinaitis. Chris Long, offensive lineman, and Cook, I knew tight end. But those guys, you're taking away your defensive captain off of this football team. John Laurinaitis has been the best part of that defense for the last 3 years. I mean, so the fact that they get rid of him and I go back to how does Derek Fisher have – or not Derek Fisher, Jeff Fisher have a job?
Jeff.
I am so shocked, and I don't know if this comes from Fisher. I don't know if this is coming from – but if I was Fisher, I think I'd be pissed because he's your defense. He's your leader. He is the guy that calls the play out on the football field. This is the guy – that young talent looks to for leadership. And there goes and then you cut one of the better players on your defensive team. Unbelievable. And we'll go back to the quality of the play out on the football field. You got to question what you're going to get from the Rams, Tarvin. You look at this football team, they take away one of the better offensive linemen. Granted, when this guy's hurt, he's hurt. I get that part. But when he's healthy, he's healthy. He's a monster on the offense. Jared Cook, that's fine. He's a person, but he was a pretty good producer for that football team at the tight end position as well. I think this is a big, big-time move for the L.A., but I think it's a wrong move for the franchise.
Yeah, you can't get rid of – I mean, in St. Louis, by the way, I mean, could they not make it there because people didn't love football? It looked like – every time I looked at the stadium in St. Louis, it was filled up. Am I missing something? Why they would leave St. Louis? I mean,
because they wouldn't build them a stadium that was better than the one that they were playing in. That was the biggest thing. They wanted a new stadium, even though that was a newer stadium as well. They just built that stadium that they played in, not more than 10 years ago, and it was a nice stadium. I've been to that stadium.
It is,
and
I haven't
it's
been,
a very nice stadium.
And the Falcons, the sorry Falcons of all teams, are getting a big stadium. I guess that has to do with it, too. You look and say, well, hey, we're just as successful as them. Why don't we, you know, get a stadium, a nicer one? And, I mean, there's some bad stadiums out there, guys. Some bad, bad stadiums. St. Louis is not one of them. But
nope.
I was surprised, like you guys were, about the cuts on the defensive side of the football like that. I mean, the offense sucks for St. Louis. Gurley's there. I think Gurley will be one of the best in the game before long, but you still need that defense. If Denver showed you anything, you need defense to win championships.
Yep.
And if you have a good one, a dominant one, you can win. And St. Louis, it wouldn't surprise me in the next year or so with their people intact that they could do something like Denver just did because, I mean, hey, that's a defense they have. But now what are they going to do? Are they going to draft this talent? Are they going to go out in the free agency? Who's out in free agency right now that they could get? I don't know. I just think you keep what you have and you keep building on it instead of getting rid of it.
Yeah, that's huge. Cuervo.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. I mean, maybe they, because I think they have some draft picks built up. So maybe that's what they just want to get younger. Like, I really don't, I'm not getting it. I mean, these guys are still young. They're still productive. And maybe they just didn't want to make the move with the team. Maybe they were so established in St. Louis that they're just like, well, I don't want to make the move to L.A. I don't want to be in L.A. So they cut him. I really don't know what it could be. Maybe they asked to be released. I'm really not 100% sure what the reason could be. But I'll tell you what, though. Chris Long, I wouldn't mind seeing him play with his brother in Chicago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was wondering if you were going to put the connection together, put the boys together. That, you know, and God, they need protect. They need an offensive line.
Yeah. The second
huge.
I heard that. Mm-hmm. Second I heard that.
No,
news
so does Carolina. So does Carolina. Man, they couldn't block for crap. That left back. I'm still bitter, guys. I'm still bitter.
Yeah, I know you are. Yo, the bad taste in the mouth is just horrid over there, over in Georgia with Tarvin. I get it. I understand. I don't know if it. I don't know if I want to fall for the fact that the game was rigged, but boy, oh boy,
why does Cam not jump on the ball at the end? Why does that incompletion? Or that missed call and then led to the fumble and a touchdown for Denver early in the game. I mean, just stuff like that and the holding call just made me realize that Carolina was in trouble. They were in some deep trouble.
Hold on. The plays that you were talking about, just to go that right, except for the one missed call as far as the incompletion, but Cam Newton not jumping on the ball, what are you actually kind of insinuating? That's what I want to know, because it sounds like to me you say it's rigged, but was Cam Newton rigged, or what? I mean, because, you know, Cam Newton didn't jump after that ball. I mean, you know, is that what you're insinuating here? That's what I'm trying to get.
I'm trying to add everything up, but I think what happened with Cam there at the end is he's been beat up so much that game and hit that I think he was a little scared, to be honest with you. He was frustrated, but you get hit enough, man, it starts to take its toll. And by that fourth quarter,
yes,
he knew that if he was going after that ball, that he was about to get hit about 10 times, yeah, by whoever. And maybe I think that's coward. I do, but I'm not the one taking the hit, so it's hard for me to say. But it just surprised me a lot. 6'6", 250, a competitor with a chance to win the game, not jump on the ball. I mean, that's just either he knew it was supposed to happen like that, or I don't know. But I don't think you can rig a fumble like that. I mean, you know, somebody coming from behind and knocking the piss out of you, I don't think he'd want to do that. You know, but I just question why he wouldn't get back on that football, and it really disappointed me a lot to see a player not go after his own fumble right in front of him. But.
Yeah, I think I'm more disappointed about that more so than his exit at the press conference. I think I'm more disappointed in what I've seen on the field more so than the press conference, because I don't care. The press conferences are a complete total waste of time, but the NFL loves to get out there, you know, wonderful politically correct answers from everybody to make it sound like this is a great football game. You know, and everybody's great. No one's bad. You know, that's one of the reasons why we don't do interviews with live football players anymore, unless we're covering the Texas Revolution. I mean, and then we're kind of stuck doing the, you know, politically correct answers getting from the coaches and crap. But take away from that, our regular show, we don't bring them in here. It's a waste of time because we see through the BS all the way. So that's one of the things that kind of make. By the way, just for our locs here that are listening here in the Rowlett area, Marquise Goodwin places third in the long jump at the Melrose Games as he's trying to make his way over to Brazil. He's in high school. He won state championships, and he plays for the Buffalo Bills, for folks that don't know. He's not like a standout guy, but he is a local guy. So I wanted to put that out there as he completed in the Melrose Games in New York on Saturday, placed third in the men's long jump with 25.5 inches. So he's He's trying to qualify for his second U.S. Olympics team as well, as he finished 10th in the long jumps back in the London Olympics. So just to let you know, and this summer in Rio de Janeiro, he was hoping, according to this, he says hoping to follow some other NFL players that have Olympic medals. Bob Hayes, Jim Thorpe, Milt Campbell, Michael Carter, Bo Robinson, just to name a few of that, according to this. So I wanted to throw that out for my locs. Marquise Goodwin, very fast, by the way. He just saw some speed after he got out of college, making the transition to the NFL game. So just wanted to put that out there. So we get that story. We get the huge story with what we see with Peyton Manning. And then we get the other story with St. Louis. You know, where – see, now I want to know, and I think that they stay in the – they're going to stay in the NFC West, I imagine, if they're going out there. Right, Cuervo? Or are they going to make any changes to the division? Or what? I mean, now it fits, at least.
Yeah, no, they're going to definitely stay NFC West. I haven't heard anything about them switching divisions or anything like that, which, I mean, geographically, it's everything's lined up now. You got Seattle, then you got L.A., then you got Arizona, and you got San Francisco. So, I mean, everybody's right there on the West Coast, literally. It's not like, you know, having to jump to the Midwest for an NFC West game. So, yeah, it would make no sense to move them out of the division.
Yep. And that is crazy. I don't know if I thought they were going to change it, but it is now fit. At least geographically, it just looks better. You know, the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC West, you know, that still makes no sense to me. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a fan. But take away from that, lots of other news that are going on in the NFL as we are going around the horn talking about it. Some players that were cut here in the last week, some players that are going to stay on their certain teams. So I'll just throw this over to Cuervo. As far as some of the news that you're hearing coming out for the last week, I'm sure he, you know, in his downtime, he's keeping up. What story this week kind of, you know, piqued your interest on what you've heard?
Well, obviously, you know, being the hometown Chicago kid that I am, I'm following. You know, Matt Forte, and who's gonna pick him up? I thought maybe New England was the best fit for him, and after reading some more things, it doesn't seem like New England is the best fit. What I would hate to see is him become a Green Bay Packer. If that happens, then I may never speak his name ever again, but. You know, it's all about what's best for his career. So, the one thing I hope for Matt is either A, obviously the Bears still have the opportunity to change their mind and bring him back. But if they decide not to do that, which I don't think is going to happen, I hope he goes to a team that is primed to win right now, whether it's, Dallas for your locals. You know, once they get healthy again and they have Romo and Dez Bryant back and whatnot, I think Forte would be a great addition to the backfield and could really set the offense off, set it off over there in Dallas.
Yeah.
So maybe a guy like Forte could be a good fit there. Obviously, heck, Tarvin's Carolina Panthers, I'm sure, would like to have him. So there are teams out there that will be looking for a guy like Matt Forte. He's only 30 years old, guys, so he's still got some in the tank. So I'm going to
get him for cheap
to see
too.
What happens to him.
You think you can get him for cheap? I don't think you can.
No.
I mean,
no.
At 30?
I don't think so either.
At 30?
There's a difference. I get what you're saying, the other side of 30, the wrong side of 30, but he's at 30, and I get that. But Matt Forte, okay, 2 years ago was a running machine. I mean, this guy had way too many touches. This guy had receptions out of the backfield. Crazy. The guy had, but that was 2 years ago. He didn't show any sign of it, at least slowing down in my eyes from last year, that I remember. Okay, so the difference between him and one former Atlanta Falcon that came over, and I'm talking about Michael Burner Turner. You want to talk about a team that burned out their running back? Okay, a good quality running back. That's what the Falcons did to Michael Turner. Okay, now the Bears tried to do that, but I think the conditioning was different. I mean, you know, Forte was hurt and he got hurt every once in a while, and I get that, but I didn't necessarily see any signs of him slowing down. Now, that having been said, I'm still wondering why Michael Turner wasn't in the NFL 2 years ago. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I one of these days I'm going to sit down and do some research on why this guy wasn't back in the
fat.
NFL. Huh? Well, I heard he got fat, but you know what? I mean, geez, everybody's fat. All you got to do is look at the Twinkie runner up in Green Bay. He's fat, too. I mean, but he, you can trim down, you know. But that guy's never been small anyway. He's always, had the bigger size on him. What am I hearing? What's in the background there?
I'm sorry. That was actually me. I clicked on CBS. So I was looking up something, and I barely heard it. How the hell did you hear it?
I heard it.
I'm on headphones. My bad.
It sounded like it was an old AM radio from the 50s.
that's what I'm resorted to now. I'm resorted to listening to AM radio because I'm
Listen, the reason why I'm in radio is because I listened to it as a kid and loved it. I mean, forget watching it on TV. I mean, we had Harry Carey. Well, I don't know. He knows the story of Harry Carey, but when I was a kid boy, I used to sit and listen to Harry Carey, and I can remember when he went from St. Louis to Chicago. I used to listen. I lived in an area where Chicago and St. Louis airwaves, they actually got out there, and I could hear Chicago and St. Louis airwaves, and I used to listen to all the games. That's why I'm such a fan of radio, in general, sports radio.
Sonny. You can pick up WGN radio right outside of Indianapolis, actually.
Yeah.
I tested it, and you can pick it up.
Yep, they have a good signal, even in those days. And at night, it went even further. That was the reason why. It was kind of interesting when I was a kid. When they played the teams on the West Coast, okay, compared to games, sometimes when the game started at around 7 o'clock Central, it was hard to hear. You could hear it, but it was hard. But, like, if they started a game at 7 o'clock on the West Coast, I got to hear it perfect through the whole game. I used to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning listening to ball games when I was a kid. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, technology has gone to where we are today. You know, just this last Wednesday, we just passed our seventh year of doing Blog Talk Radio internationally, obviously, with Cuervo over there, and people could hear, over 1,100 shows, craziness that we've been doing this. I cannot believe that we've been doing this for as long as we've been doing this, and Cuervo jumped in after year one, so he's been with us now. You've been with us now 6 years doing this, Cuervo. This is amazing.
It's been a quick 6 years. I mean, it feels like a couple of months ago I crushed over to you guys in Vegas and started talking to you guys about the Raiders getting Donovan McNabb. You remember that conversation about the Raiders getting Donovan McNabb? That's what started everything.
Yeah, it did. And I was all for it if they picked him, if they grabbed him up, it could help that team. I was a firm believer in that. I'm not a firm believer in Donovan McNabb, but the Raiders needed something at that time. And even if it was Donovan McNabb, they would have been better. Interestingly enough, Cuervo, as we're here, hold on, let me go right here. It is, where is this? Hold on, here it is. back from April 3rd, 2010.
Hey, these guys are saying these guys are saying the Raiders are going to be better next year. I mean, I respect Sonny, and he says the Raiders are going to finish second in their division. Yeah, okay. Your first name?
Mario.
Hey, man, where are you from?
I'm from San Diego area.
All right. We got him from San Diego right there. That's Sonny, that's Big Dom, scorekeeper. You heard his rambling, man. You heard me asking for a hell of a game.
I just lived there.
That's cool, man.
He says if they get Donovan McNabb,
Raiders are going to finish second in their division.
No, I don't think so. They might finish third at best. That's just my opinion. They'll finish third.
Right now, the Broncos they're not put together. I mean, the Broncos are going to have their problems because they have an unsatisfied wide receiver. That's going to hurt them.
Right. So their chemistry is going to be, it's going to be at the all-time low.
Good offseason and Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It'll be a huge boost if they do get McNabb. But I'm going to still say, like me personally, I'm high on Kansas City, actually. I think Kansas City is getting better fast.
You're not going to see Kansas City like normal bad
food. Right, so I think between... You know, well, San Diego obviously is going to finish first, and then it's going to be neck and neck, in my opinion, between the Chiefs and the Raiders for third,
yep.
Second and third. They're both going to be, like, right there.
Campbell's going to get better.
Right.
He kind of dropped the ball back.
And now he's going to have a dependable running game because they have Thomas Jones. So, plus, they hired Charlie Weiss. They got Cornell as defensive coordinator. So all the pieces are coming together for them. Right.
Sonny, get his number. You got your co-host right here. He knows football. He knows football.
Yeah.
Can I tell you how many people I've been trying to get on my show? And
we're on every Saturday.
Okay.
That was the Cuervo Steel back up on, and I got the whole thing of 7 minutes and 32 seconds, but that was the Cuervo Steel. We were talking about that. Craziness there, Cuervo. I cannot believe that was that was your official day on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Your official first day. Not after you agreed to be on, but that was your day. That was such a cool day out in Vegas. And that was around Super Bowl time, wasn't it? Or was that Final Four?
It was
Final Four.
Yeah, the Final Four because it was in the beginning of April. So
April,
But I mean. You stole it, but the scorekeeper called it. He's like, "This is your co-host right here," and
yep.
So
I was lucky to get the telephone number away from him.
Yeah, that was a steal. Huh? That was a steal right there. Yep.
Yeah, so,
I mean, the scorekeeper already had his partner. I mean, you know, he's been rolling with the big dog for years now. So
yes,
you know. And I know, Sonny, I don't know if I ever told you this, but when you started back in 2009, or was it 2008, something like that?
2009.
I actually went back.
February.
Yeah, I actually.
It was horrible,
a couple
wasn't
of nights. Well, I listened to some of the co-hosts that you had, and, you know, I'm kind of like, man, I'm so glad I'm able to help Sonny out, you know, because. It just wasn't matching up. I mean, your knowledge
right.
versus the co-hosts that you had wasn't even close. And
Tarvin,
well,
I thought he was always good.
Well, no, I was horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I just needed to find my cadence more so than anything for the first 6 months.
You needed a co-host.
But, yeah,
Pippen. Sonny
exactly. Is that what
Scotty.
It is? Am I the Michael Jordan of this program, maybe? Is that what
Yes, and you needed your Scotty. And
it's not, nothing. By the way, the first co-host, his name was Jim. He listens to our show religiously. By the way, I wanted him because he was my buddy, and we used to talk sports all the time. But he got married, which kind of took away from it, and then the technology when we first started doing Blog Talk Radio wasn't there. I mean, it was so horrible. The first day I did a Blog Talk Radio show, I got a virus from Blog Talk Radio up on my computer. It pissed me off. I almost decided
wow.
to bail from them. Yeah, so so that whole thing, it could be a whole different story at the time of what we did. And now the scorekeeper, he came on March 13th, almost like a year later before or a year before to the day, 10-day difference, 11-day difference to the day where Roger came up on the show. I got that soundbite too, but I used to drive around on Saturday and Sunday mornings because I had papers to serve for the court. And I used to listen to talk radio shows, and on Saturday morning I was hearing mortgage shows on sports talk radio. And on Sunday they were talking about golf, for God's sake. I couldn't believe it. I was like, God, I could do better than that.
Sonny, you remember the first day I called in? You remember the first day we met?
No, I don't. I've been looking for that, and I've been trying to find it. Do you know what day it was?
I know it was a Sunday, but it was the year I started in, what was it, 2000, maybe 11, maybe something
I think it was
like
11,
that.
Yeah.
And I called in a Sunday morning. It was you, Cuervo, Big Dog, Roger. It was funny. I was like, damn, this Marine's pretty nice here. I remember Cuervo, how nice and respectful he was. I figured he'd be a jackass or something to me. But you guys are very knowledgeable. I mean, I listened to you before, though. Like, I was listening, and then I decided to call in, and then I started making it a habit, and then I started my own show because of you guys. And
good. I'm glad
yeah,
you did.
College
football, I'm telling you right now, when you and Cuervo get together in college football, I'm just a tag along. You guys have got college football figured out. I don't know how you keep track of it, but you're able to. But then again, it's Sonny's short attention span. going to that, probably if you went to indoor football, you'd be just as clueless as I am in college football. So, so it's just a matter of where it's at.
I just go after my passion, and my passion is college football. I love it. I've actually grown to love NFL a lot more over the last few years, as you could probably tell. I talk a lot more NFL, but college is where, you know, nobody would talk college football. Everywhere I'd go, I couldn't find any good college football talk. So that's why I started way in sports talk, because I got tired of hearing everything else, you know, and I wanted to hear about what I wanted to do. So I was like, hell, I'll just start it myself. And I went through the co-host or the co-host pains too, Cuervo, trying to find somebody, and traded good, and then he couldn't work out anymore. Jonathan, I don't know what y'all think about him. He's pretty good.
Where did
passionate.
You find him? He was on another show, wasn't he? Wasn't Jonathan on a different show?
No, he was. Yeah, he did. He was on mine for a couple times. He'd call in, but Kansas City Chefs or something like that. I think that's
where it was. I used to listen to that show a lot. That's where he came from. You're right.
Yeah, and then he called away in sports a few times and became a regular, so I didn't want to steal Cuervo from you. You'd get mad at me, so I had to go find
No, you borrow him a lot, so that's good.
Yeah.
So, wow, 7 years. Over 1,000 shows. I'm completely baffled that we're still here, and more in the fact that, you know, the way where I'm working and how I'm working it, I've got the best part-time job ever. I mean, you know, doing what I'm doing, and I'm my own boss. I don't, you know, it's my own radio program, and I can do it any way I want, regardless who wants to hear what. I can do it the way I want without, and my sponsors, you know, as far as the football games, those are commercials. As far as our talk show and everything, you know, they love what we do. So, and today I told them I was not playing coverage because I'm redoing all their commercials and stuff like that. So we're not putting up the commercials. I'm redoing the commercials to see if they, you know, so we're going to get new commercials for our sponsors and our local program where I'm going to talk a little bit local sports with indoor football and high school. But outside of that, we're going to have a regular show. It's just you know, to talk about the community and everything. So it has grown to where it is now, and it's the best part-time job ever. And it's going to – I plan on keep doing it as long as Blog Talk Radio is around, or at least there's a method to do it. And so, wow, I just Wednesday came around, I posted lots of people on the show, Lenny Melnick and things of that sort. Good stuff. And we're going to keep it going.
I still haven't got a paycheck. I still haven't received a paycheck in a year for Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what they're
doing. Oh, God, yeah, they just stopped that altogether. So, you know, that's one of the things you just – you know, we used to get a lot of pay. Well, depending on what your definition of a lot was. I mean, at one point we were rolling about $200 a month for a long time. You know, and then after that it started dwindling down and dwindled finally down to nothing. So you know, it just really all depends on how it. Yeah, you know, not giving them the credit that they deserve because of the plays of the sponsors or the commercial before the show and things. Frankly, we're not supposed to do it during our show, you know, if you go by the rules and regulations. But what are they going to do? Put us off air? We'll find another place to do it.
Screw them. They haven't gone by their own rules, so screw them, you know.
Exactly. So it is Sunday. It is, that being said, we did Saturdays up until January of last year, and then my business started to pick up, which kind of killed Saturdays. So we're hit and miss on Saturdays, but we're usually here all the time on Sundays. So that is going to continue. I got my Sunday mornings all cleared up till noon. I got bail after we do the show, but at least I'm able to do the show up until noon and get going. So that having been said, it's 11 o'clock. It's the top of the hour, 11:07. We're talking NFL, some other things that are going on out there. Lamar Miller he says he wants the recognition he deserves. Let's put it out there, guys, because I know a little bit about Lamar Miller. I know he's got some talent, but I guess I want to find out from Cuervo in reality, when you think about Lamar Miller, I mean, does he have a point? I'm sitting here thinking that he doesn't. Let me bring him back in. Cuervo, Lamar Miller, I mean, is he getting the respect he deserves, or should he get any respect?
Well, I mean, it all depends on how you define getting respect. I mean, whether it's recognition from a standpoint of, okay, name, let's go over the top 15 running backs in the game right now. Like, are you going to mention Lamar Miller? If that's the kind of respect he's looking for, well, then what I say to him is, well, and you're right. And you're right. And what I would say to him is be more consistent, because go back and you look at his numbers, and there are games where he rushes for 43 yards and maybe one catch for 9 yards. And then you got other games, like when he went off against the Houston Texans for 150, 175 yards, three TDs, mm-hmm. you know, received for another 75, 80 yards. Okay, so you take those two games, okay, average them out. That's where you need to be every game. You know, mm-hmm. you take some of your best and some of your worst games, you need to find that happy medium. And once he starts doing that on a consistent basis, and he can average 75, 80 yards a game, then I think he'll start getting the respect that he thinks he deserves right now. But until you put up consistent games, dude, it ain't going to happen.
And it's not like he's Adrian Peterson. Okay, Adrian Peterson can have those 40-yard games like 2 or 3 weeks in a row, but he pops off 210. The next week, okay? So the difference between that kind of player is interesting. I was thinking the same thing, but Adrian Peterson does the same thing. But the difference is when he pops the 40 and 50 yard, he comes back the next week, he'll pop off 200, 210, and score many touchdowns for this
Sonny,
football team.
And not just that, Sonny. I mean, you're talking about the guy who owns the record for most rushing yards in the game, and he has a 2,000-yard season, which he won MVP in the era of the quarterback. Think about it.
Yep.
In the past, what, 10 to 12 years, it's been 11 quarterbacks and one running back. And that one running back, Adrian Peterson. So he has earned his respect despite what you think about him off the football field.
Yep, I'm just, it's interesting that I read this on NFL this morning, and I'm sitting here going, really, if you think about it, if you're just your basic fan of NFL, and let's say your team is not the Miami Dolphins, do you even know who this guy is? No. I'm sorry, you don't. Okay, we dive into the NFL. We know who he is. Okay, but your average fan that just sits around keeping track of their team, they have no clue who Lamar Miller is, and that's the reason why, is because he doesn't have the pop. He doesn't have the consistency like you're talking about of the 75, 80 yards a game. He didn't even drop down into the teens in a couple of games that I saw. So, now, granted, you look at the Miami Dolphins, okay, that football team's got a lot of problems, and it may be at the quarterback position, but the offensive line is horrible in reality. The only one on there that's worth a nickel is the guy that, as a matter of fact, they don't have him anymore. After they lost, what's the dude's name in the on the bullying case? Once they lost him. Incognito. Once they lost Incognito.
Incognito, yeah.
Yeah, once they lost that, it got worse, okay? So you put up on the line that the Dolphins don't have a great offensive line in the first place that can create holes. There's no question you become an average running back if you don't have the offensive line to be able to support a run game. And that's one thing, and that also comes with the fact that Ryan Tannehill is always on the run. That tells you something. Now, I'm not saying the guy couldn't do better, but you got to be able to figure out a way to make that work so you can get the recognition that you're trying to get. That being said, he's hitting free agency. Someone's going to pick him up, and they're going to pick him up, and they're going to steal him because the money he thinks he's going to get, he's not going to get because he couldn't take that step beyond of what that offensive line was set in Miami there, Cuervo.
Mm-hmm. I could see him. Honestly, Sean, I could see him with the New Orleans Saints. That's the first team that popped
yeah.
in my head.
Yes. Yes. Because they have a way of finding guys and retreading them, even if it's for a year or two.
Well, here's the thing. This is why I say the Saints, because you look at the type of running backs they've had over the years, and it's those small quick guys that can do different things. You can line him up in the slot. You can hand the ball off to him or whatever. You can even – I don't think Lamar Miller's using a return game, but, I mean, you go down the list. You have Reggie Bush. You got Darren Sproles. They had C.J. Spiller last year. So Lamar Miller's the same type of running back as those guys are. So I can definitely see Lamar Miller with the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees.
Absolutely, I could too. And when you said that, I was like, "That's the place he should go." Now that you mentioned that, that's the place. There should be no question where he should go. He fits that type of. He's Pierre Thomas. He's Pierre Thomas. If you think about it, Pierre's a little bit like three inches taller. But exactly. So. I'm right there with you. That was a good place to put him. That would be right there. I like that. So Lamar Miller not thinking he's getting his respect. I don't know. You know, one of these things. Once you got to get the recognition you deserve. You got to put it out there. And like Cuervo said, it's got to be consistent, or they're just going to look at you as an average running back. This guy's not going to get the money that he wants. I mean, there's absolutely no way. If you're going to pay him more than $2 million, you're paying way too much, and frankly, $2 million might be too much too until he proves himself. And that's what the NFL is all about, Cuervo. When you talk about players and you talk about respect, and really, honestly, the respect is about money, and before you get that, you got to gain the respect. You got to, in order to earn the money, you got to prove it. And frankly, Lamar Miller, as much as I think that he can be good, and he probably would be pretty good somewhere else, he's got to prove it before he gets the money. That's what the NFL is all about.
Oh yeah, and I mean, if he's going to get respect around the league, it's going to be from other players, and you earn it. You do it on the field. Like, that's how it works. You do your thing on the field, and that's where you earn your respect at. So, I mean, even 70 yards a game, I think
yep.
would put him in a higher tier of running backs. But right now, no, man, he's just not cutting it. I mean, he's like a sixth round fantasy pick. That's not much
yep.
respect. So.
Yep. Looking at, hey, say what you want. Looking a little bit more at what we're talking about, Antonio Gates. Do the Chargers hold on to him, Cuervo? I mean, if they do, what do you pay Antonio Gates? I mean, you don't pay this guy too much. I mean, there is no question this guy's got the chemistry with Phillip Rivers, but let's be honest. He's not Phillip Rivers, okay? He's a good player, maybe even a great player in the sign. For the last 3 years, I want to know what you pay Antonio Gates to remain with the Chargers, because that's the story I'm looking at here on NFL.com.
Well, I don't know what the numbers are, Sonny, how much he's looking for, but, man, I mean, when you're talking tight ends, I can't see him making more than $5 million, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that's a reasonable number for a guy that's had a Hall of Fame career and can still go out there and maybe get you, 700-800 yards receiving, 5-6 touchdowns. I mean, that's a $5 million tight end, in my opinion. So
yeah,
I don't
think
know.
I'm right there.
I mean,
with
I don't
you.
I don't know how much he's asking for, Sonny, but I think when it comes to the San Diego Chargers, I mean, I'm surprised they're even holding on to Rivers, because I think they're in a situation right now where, what did they go 5-11 last year? I mean, it's time for them to move on and start all over again, rebuild.
They just gave him a big contract though at the beginning of last year, Cuervo. I mean,
yeah.
Not a small contract. That's a huge contract that Phillip Rivers signed with the Chargers this year. And frankly, I was wondering where they were coming up with it. I mean, you can say what you want about Phillip Rivers, okay? I think he's a great quarterback. But the problem is, you can be the best quarterback, but if you want to be Dan Marino, great. But if you're an NFL franchise, you don't want Dan Marino. And that's what they're getting right now with Phillip Rivers at the starting quarterback position for the Chargers. So evidently the Chargers seen, maybe, I don't know, that they could get a glimpse of maybe at least Eli Manning. And they're not even getting that, Cuervo. I mean, Eli Manning's been in the playoffs more than, in the Super Bowl than Phillip Rivers. And that should be insane when you think about it, especially when you think about who Eli Manning really is, okay? Eli Manning, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, you can sit there and you can tout this guy all you want, okay? But when you talk about Eli Manning, this guy is not a $42 million year contract. This guy has made over $120 million away from the Giants. Where he gets that money or how or why, I don't know. Because this guy's been average at best, Cuervo, for the last 5 years. And not only that, he's almost like the NBA, unwatchable.
And I mean, even with a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. as his number one guy now, I mean, he's still if you got a guy like that on your team, Sonny, you should be racking up some good numbers, and he's just not doing it.
Yep.
And you could blame it all you want on, well, that's the only target that they have and whatnot. But, that's what separates the good from the great and the great from
yep.
the legendary, is even that one guy can be the difference in
yes.
how well, the quarterback, But, I mean, look at Peyton Manning. He loses Wes Welker. He loses Eric Decker. He loses Julius Thomas. And they still, and you can debate all you want, well, it was a defense, whatever.
That
scored enough offense to put points on the board.
Yeah,
you gotta
exactly.
You got to put points on the board to win. So losing those three guys, and they still found a way to, last year, they, got the bye week, even though they lost the first round of their game, they still were in the thick of the playoffs. This year, they go all the way without those guys. So, maybe he can learn a thing or two from his brother. So.
Exactly. We got 10 more minutes before I got to bail. Is there anything in particular you wanted to cover before we get out of here, Cuervo?
Well, I was on Sports Talk with the guys yesterday.
And? I haven't had a chance to go back in the archive.
Yeah, it's been a while since I talked to them. Just wanted to catch up with them. But, you know, we talked, obviously, with the scorekeeper. A lot of baseball talk happened. So
yep.
I don't know if next week we're going to dive into a little bit of baseball, maybe like a spring training preview or anything like that. But, I think it'd be, you know, something a little different. Although, I mean, you can't go wrong with NFL talk. I'm not saying let's not talk NFL. You can't just not talk NFL. But, you know, I mean, you got the locals down there. Maybe they're interested in hearing our opinions about how the Texas Rangers are going to do.
Yep.
So maybe mix it up next week with a little bit of baseball. But
definitely
on to more important business. I know you're a busy man because you are the hardest working man in sport. So
yes, I am.
With that being said, this talk about Las Vegas came up again, and nobody's quite sure about when exactly this trip is going to happen. Now, I was under the impression that it was going to be Memorial Day weekend. Now, that's a busy weekend for everybody, so if it doesn't happen, then okay, fine. But, what dates were you thinking about? So that way we can start planning this thing, because I've got about 5-6 weeks left until I'm back. So
right,
you know,
I didn't even know about that until it was mentioned over on the show over there when I just happened to jump in on one Saturday. I wasn't working in the morning and I just found out about it. As far as plans are concerned, I wasn't necessarily planning any of that. So that's something that we probably have to shoot out to the scorekeeper. What did he say?
First of all, he didn't know when I was coming back. And when I told him, he was like, wow, that's earlier than I thought. So now I do know that April, you know, I'll be back sometime in April, but it's a pretty open month for me. If we're not able to do it in April, then the end of May is the next time I'll be available because of, just things that have to get done.
Obligations.
Once you come back from the obligations come back from a 6-month deployment and whatnot. There's a lot of things
sure.
that go into it. But the end of May, that's why I was thinking, I mean, Memorial Day weekend, I think a lot of people, you know, get a decent amount of time off. I know I should be getting a 4-day weekend. So that's what I was thinking. But if it doesn't work for everybody else, then obviously we'll have to, you know,
figure that. We'll get into a chat and start talking about
mm-hmm.
that and get more ideas exactly on how that is going to happen. So we should do that. We should get in with scorekeeper Big Dog and of course Tarvin if he's going to call and things of that sort. So we'll get into a chat.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about that and get that figured out on how we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, so things can be arranged. I think that's not a big deal at all, really. It just really all depends upon the indoor schedule as well. So that's another thing that we got to kind of keep our eyes on as well. So we'll do that in chat. We'll figure that part out and see what we can do about it. I still think that's something that can be done. I don't think there's an impossibility about doing that. So we'll do that. We'll check that out and see what's going on, because I know scorekeeper's got about 4 or 5 different things that he's doing during that time as well. So what we'll try to do is we'll get a hold of the scorekeeper and try to get him down on specifics on what he was talking about.
Okay, that sounds like a plan, Sonny. Let's do that.
Sounds like a plan for us. So that having been said, that's what's the name of this show, and we're going to go ahead. We're going to bail out as I got to bail myself. That being said, you can hear us on Sunday mornings, and we'll be on. And that's just something that we do here on the regular. I'm going to try to get another show during the week. I just got to figure out my schedule and how it's going to work, and then we'll go from there. And we'll knock it out and get up on air, start talking some sports, definitely some baseball. We got to get into that because spring training is just around the corner, so we got to get ready for it. You're right, Cuervo. So let's start putting on our homework caps for Major League Baseball and spring training. So that's going to do it for us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. For Cuervo, for Tarvin, we are out here. Tarvin, take care of yourself. Cuervo, take care of yourself over in Kuwait, my friend.
I will, Sonny, as always. You take care as well. And all the locals, you know, appreciate you guys listening in.
You betcha. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back up on here real soon. No schedule set except Friday, this Friday, the premiere of indoor football in the Texas Revolution for the 2016. We're out of here, everybody. Bye-bye.